time to talk business. Inc. Radio. Real stories, real solutions. Inc. Magazine has the knowledge and experience to help you grow your business and stay ahead of the competition. This is Inc. Radio. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Welcome back. It is another episode, yes, I know, two in a row, from Secret Knock. I'm Alan Taylor. When you have this many people to choose from, it's like shooting fish in a barrel, and all these interesting people need time on the microphone because this magazine and this radio show are the magazine and radio show and media company for growing your company. Joining us next is Doug Grady. He is the author of The Ripple Effect. One simple choice can change the course of your life. And you should have said forever. How you doing, man?
I'm doing well. It's the first time, Alan, I've been called a fish in a barrel. So thank you for that kind
introduction. You smell a little fishy, by the way. No, I'm joking. So you were up on stage and I missed it. And I thought, well, okay, let's get him on the radio and have him tell the world what he was telling the folks at Secret Knock.
Well, I appreciate you having me. The subtext, is, as I said, is one simple choice can change the course of your life. I speak about choice and how it shapes the course of our life and how it makes us who we are and creates the life that we have.
So the ripple effect, I have used that term for a long, 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 long time because to me, I think you're absolutely right. And it's in every single thing you do in life. Being thoughtful. I mean, at the end of the day, if you go to, you know, even a public restroom, I watch, you know, how people in a public restroom, especially men, they don't know who's going to be in the stall after them.
Sure.
And it's always bugged me about how thoughtless people are in that private place, if you know what I'm saying.
It's a different type of ripple effect.
If you know what I'm saying.
Absolutely.
But that's not the ripple I was talking. But the point is that I have thought to myself, you know, if we are not thoughtful in life, when nobody's looking in the public restroom or wherever it is, then how can – it's like I've heard it many times, if I can't trust you with a dollar, how can I trust you with $1 million, right? So I think that it has to start at the very rudimentary level of when nobody's looking, right?
Right.
And because there is a ripple effect, all I can say is that if you just live your life with simple little things of – it matters when nobody's looking because there always is somebody looking, right? And the guy upstairs, he's
Absolutely.
Watching everything you do. So intent and really it's a personal journey. Each one of us have that personal journey. So if we start with the little things, it'll ripple effect out to bigger things in your life.
Absolutely. In fact, change begins with a choice.
You can tell I just came from the men's room, right?
Yeah.
So talk about what you talked about on stage.
Yeah, well, that's step number one in creating a ripple effect is choice. Most people, they know of something right now they could do differently, but they simply don't choose. And step number one, I think it was Geddy Lee, that great Canadian philosopher, that said, if you choose not to decide, you still have made a choice. So when we choose not to do anything, we remain stuck where we are.
Yeah.
Step number one for creating a ripple effect is you got to choose something. It doesn't have to be the perfect thing or the forever thing or the best thing ever, but it's got to be something simple, doable now.
Yeah, I've heard many people say to me, I'm not going to choose. I can't choose right now. And I say, well, that is a choice. So we'll go ahead and take that as a no.
Right.
You know.
And in order for transformation, any type of positive change to occur, it's got to come from a conscious choice.
Right. And not that there's anything wrong with feeling like I don't know what to do. So the answer is then no. Perhaps, correct?
Well, you know, just yesterday I was speaking with a man who was stuck on choosing. I said, well, what if you just chose to invest 10 to 15 minutes every day and what choice might look like? So for the next 3 weeks, you just say 10 to 15 minutes, I'll look at possible choices and how this choice might lay out for the rest of my life. There's always something that we can do differently in the area of choice.
Mm-hmm.
And it's that fear. It's fear kind of gets, I use the analogy, I don't know if you play poker at all.
You know, I try not to gamble. It's oddly enough one of those things, one of the better choices I've made in my life.
Have you heard of this term, Alan, called all in?
Yes, I've absolutely.
Yeah, so when people will go all in, they put all their money, all their chips, all their resources, if you will, on the table. And at this moment, there's this four-letter word that kicks in that starts with an F. It's this thing called fear, because you can win it all. You can lose everything.
Yeah.
And this same fear kicks in when we're faced with even simple, subtle choices that can change our life. And I think everybody's been in this space where they know they need to do something and they still remain stuck. To get out of that stuckness, you got to get through all the clutter and all the fear and all the voices in your head and choose something. That's step number one in creating a ripple effect.
How about a website for Doug Grady?
DougGrady.com.
Too easy. The Ripple Effect. I love it. I have a little copy of it. It's a small book. It's probably a nice, easy read. One flight across the country, and I'm already done with it. So
fantastic.
This is good stuff. Great advice from Doug Grady. And check out his website, DougGrady.com. Doug, thank you. Good meeting you.
Thank you, Alan.
Awesome. It's Inc. Radio. It's a secret knock. We'll be right back. Cancer is the number one cause of death by disease for children in the U.S. today. Since the Austin Hatcher Foundation's birth in 2006, it has grown to provide unique programs to help the children and the families affected by pediatric cancer. Support begins at the time of diagnosis and continues throughout survivorship at no cost to families. Lives touched by the foundation continue to rise each day. But we need your help. Donate, volunteer, or partner with the Austin Hatcher Foundation. Learn how you can get involved. Visit hatcherfoundation.org for more information. Welcome back. It is Inc. Radio. Today, again, I'm just walking around the Secret Knock event, and my buddy Scott Duffy goes, oh, you got to interview him. Oh, you got to interview her. Oh, you got to interview him. So the next O is Gene McNaughton. He is a B2B sales expert. You can find out more about him at growthsmart.com. Gene, so you know my buddy Scott Duffy.
I do.
And he has high praise for you. He has high praise for a lot of people, but every now and then he goes, this guy I really like. So talk about your B2B sales expertness. What do you do?
Well, companies, usually mid-size, large-size companies, call on me when they're frustrated with their revenue and productivity and profit. So they've either peaked, they plateaued, maybe their sales are going backwards. Almost always the case is it's the CFO, it's the CEO that is frustrated with the performance of their sales and marketing organization. They've tried everything it is that they can do, and when that is not working, when they're getting commoditized, when they are struggling to stand out from their competition, they're going to call me in to recreate their messaging, recreate their entire sales sequence. Because in most cases, here's what I find, Alan, and I've interviewed and worked with tens of thousands of salespeople in the last 20 years. Just about every seller that I talk to is using sales skills that they've just picked up along the way. Like, there's no clear, complete system of what is the best practice from a prospecting standpoint, who to go after, what to say, how do you call on somebody at a higher level versus a lower level. And something I teach them is like, look, you'll always be sent to where you sound like you should be sent. And most sellers, because they haven't been trained on how to be proactive.
Hold still. I want to just suck that one in. You will be sent where you sound like you should be sent.
That's right.
In other words, how you present yourself over the phone or in front of a person dictates where your next direction is from the person you're, you know, going to get some business from, perhaps. You're going to either be sent to the door that is, you know, get rid of this guy, or the door that is, he needs to be with us.
That's right.
I love this. That's great. Good stuff. So be thoughtful of how you present yourself.
Well, let me tell you what. Here's what most sellers do. They do a random, sporadic cold call. And, you know, I don't know where your audience's mindset is on cold call, but you can't look at the internet these days and not see something that says cold calling is dead. And you know what? I don't think there's many people out there that would say, I love to cold call, because I've been the guy that's done that. There's nothing to smile and dial about. However, here's what I would say is, if you want to grow, if you want to win new business, you do have to be proactive. Now, proactive is different than cold calling. Granted, part of being proactive is making phone calls, but you've got emails, you've got social media, you've got LinkedIn email, you've got networking events, you've got conferences, you've got keynotes. There's not that, you know, gazillion ways to skin the cat, but you get really good at about five or six of them. Here's what I can tell you, Alan. Personal experience tells me there isn't anybody you can't get to with the right message and if you're committed enough. Most sales organizations, I mean, if you look at the patterns of how selling organizations are built, it's predictable.
Yeah.
You've got a, you know, VP of sales, you've got regional managers, you've got salespeople or district managers, whatever they call them, that own a territory. In that territory, they have a set of accounts that are already buying. They have accounts that are buying some products and services but should and could be buying more. And then every territory has accounts that we want to go win those accounts.
Right.
So it's just assumed that when you hire a salesperson, they're going to be good at prospecting and finding new business. Yet and I work with some of the biggest brand names, from T-Mobile to Tyco Security, some really big brand names with huge training organizations. I've yet to go into a situation with, you know, even 30-year veterans that can lay out and spell out their specific system and process to go out and get business. That's why they bring me in. I systematize it.
I gotcha.
You know, here's the key. Whoever's listening to this, just realize that you're perfectly designed to achieve the results you're getting.
Right.
And if you objectively look at the fact, are you getting the number of new accounts you want? Are you keeping your accounts as long as you should? Do you have a bulletproof plan to cross-sell and upsell other products and services? Very few companies do. That's what they bring me in for.
I build it. You have to have the right systems and processes. The website is Growth Smart. Gene McNaughton. Now I know why Scott Duffy loves you so much.
Hey, thank you.
You're a smart guy.
It's mutual.
Growth
mutual.
Smart. Okay.
Yeah, that's why we titled the company specifically for what it is we do. We help companies grow in a smart way. If you think about what's going to cause you to stand out in your marketplace, and I don't care who's listening, your business is commoditized. If you think about what's going to stand out, it's going to be your messaging. It's going to be your sales rigor. It's going to be what your managers are doing on a weekly basis to reinforce and drive the system that you've established. But as I said, I mean, these big companies call on me, from engineering firms to accounting firms to, you know, the companies I mentioned earlier, you know, divisions of Panasonic I work with, and they've got reps out just doing their own thing.
Yeah. It's interesting. My mother-in-law, God rest her soul, passed away a couple years ago, and she had so many great sayings, and the one that stuck with me most, and I use it with people that I work with for sales, when they're sitting there at their desk, you know, they're doing Facebook and kind of their own personal things, and they're supposed to be working, I catch them every now and then, and I say, you know what? Wise men say, men sit for a long time with mouth open waiting for roast duck to fly in. I said, if you don't get busy, you're not going to sell anything. Gene, thank you very much. You guys can find Gene McNaughton, growthsmart.com. Great advice.
All right. Thank
you. Hopefully some people will come your way.
Thank you.
It is Inc. Radio. We'll be right back. Looking to become an entrepreneur and purchase your first business? Finitrends Financial has been helping entrepreneurs fund their dreams of business ownership for over 30 years. Whether it's using a retirement plan to buy a business, securing an SBA loan, or utilizing a dozen other options, Finitrends works hard every day to get entrepreneurs the funding they need quickly, safely, and economically. Speak with a funding expert today. Call 866-423-6387 or visit Benetrends.com. That's Benetrends.com. Benetrends. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Alan Taylor. It is Inc. Radio. A special guest today, the founder of UGG. His name is Brian Smith. Brian, welcome to the show.
Hey, good day, Alan. Good to be here.
Good day. I love that. You know, you have been on stage, I don't know, all over the world probably. You've been around. You've been making the rounds. I see you at Secret Knock. I see you on all these different platforms. Your story is amazing, and I would love for you to share just a quick version of it with our listeners.
Sure, sure. The reason I'm on stage is because I wrote a book called The Birth of a Brand, and that was based, it's motivational and inspirational, really aimed at entrepreneurs, because I want to help them avoid a lot of the mistakes that I went through.
That we all make as entrepreneurs.
Yeah, and it's a brilliant success story, but it's not without its pain and its failures. And when I speak from the stage, the number of people come up to me and say, oh, my God, Brian, I didn't realize that I'm in the stage I'm at, and now I have so much more faith in sticking with my business and wanting to grow it.
So give a little bit of your story for a moment, because, like you said, there's growing pains to every business.
Yeah, well, I was an accountant in Australia and hated it, and as soon as I graduated, I quit. And I came to America looking for a business to take back to Australia because all the trends were coming out of California. And after a couple of months in California, I realized, oh, my God, there's no sheepskin boots in America.
Which they're everywhere in Australia.
One in two people owned a pair, yeah. So it was just like a no-brainer to stay in America and start importing the boots, which I did. And I registered the UGG trademark and then started building the brand around that, thinking I'd be an instant millionaire, but it took 4 or 5 years to get any traction, which is like any business person starting out.
Sure.
And from that, I realized how difficult it is to birth a company, and I wrote down the words, you can't give birth to adults. And that became the theme of the book, The Birth of a Brand. And it, what it means is that every, you know, business or movement or TV sitcom or whatever starts with somebody conceiving it. And then the first action is taken, and that's the birth. So the birth of UGG was really me buying, you know, samples from Australia. And then it just goes into this horrible infancy, and it lies there, and it lies there, and it lies there. And there's no amount of jiggling the cradle or feeding it that it cannot get up and go to college. And then eventually it'll start toddling, which is a really cool stage, and then hits the youth. That's when businesses, you know, most businesses are really good in the youth stage. If it's a really good product or service, it'll hit the teenage phase, which is pretty scary because it's easy to get out of control,
right,
like any teenager.
I love this.
And then it hits the maturity. And that's what, when I come off stage, people are saying, oh, my God, I didn't realize I'm still in the infancy, and I was going to give it up, but now I realize I've just got to sit it out.
You have to raise the brand.
You have to just, yeah, slowly build. And,
yeah.
And the slower it goes, the deeper the roots are. So it's a pretty good philosophy for a book.
Now, where are you today? Do you still own the brand? Did you sell it? Where are you today?
Yeah, it got too big for me in the late 90s. I sold it to a company called Deckers, a public company, owned by a buddy of mine who was selling sandals all the whole time I was building the UGG
Deckers
brand. Yeah, he was triple Decker sandals. You know?
Oh, my gosh.
And he'd taken his company public, and it was getting too big for me to finance. You know, I got up to nearly $20 million in sales, and he'd, you know, I knew he had all the cash on hand from the public offering.
Right.
So we just put them both together because his company died every winter, and my company died every summer. So it made a perfect match.
Yeah. So did you retain any of it, or did you just sell it lock, stock, and barrel?
No, the deal was best. We looked at all different opportunities, but the deal was to cash out because I had other partners that just wanted cash.
Right.
And so we did that. But I've always, you know, felt part of the brand. And, you know, when you're the founder, you can never get fired, you know. So,
right.
So I've always believed that I'm, you know, still part of the UGG brand.
The name of the book again?
The Birth of a Brand.
The Birth of a Brand. And really the rest of it is, and how to raise that child.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, it's called, you know, Exploring Your Entrepreneurial Passion and Soul.
There you go.
Because it's a very spiritual book. It's a lot of philosophy in it. It's not just about it's not a business book per se. It's a real book about life because that birth to adults, you know, covers a lot of different aspects in your life.
So, and how long ago did you write the book?
About 18 months ago.
Oh, okay. So it's relatively new.
It's still very new, yeah. So that's, you know, the speaking business is building because of that book.
Yeah. Are you enjoying the speaking business?
I love it. I love it because of the response I get from the audience. And if even one person comes up to me afterwards and says, oh, my God, you touched me, you know, because I have lots of philosophical points, you know, like one is, you know, your most disappointing disappointments will always become your greatest blessings. And I ask the audience, put your hand up if you can name something that happened a year ago that was a disaster, and you look back now, and it's the best thing that ever happened.
You know, it's so true. And about 2 years ago, I had a partner that was the worst partner on planet Earth.
Right.
He disappeared, almost like he came literally from hell to torture me. And he was only
a partner for
2 months. And then I bought him back out, and he sold his house. And we don't know where he is, and we can't find him, and it's bizarre.
Yep.
So these things happen in our lives. And, you know, I wondered, I thought to myself, was that even real? Was that a dream?
Yep.
But I learned so much from it, you know. And so these negative things that happen, it's like no pain, no gain.
Exactly.
You know?
It's almost infallible. And the other saying I have is that the quickest way for a tadpole to become a frog is live every day happily as a tadpole, because you can't accelerate life. It's a cause and effect thing. You do some sort of action, there'll be a response or a reaction from that. And so while you're waiting for the reaction, you can't get angsty about it and impatient. You just got to, you know, wait for the tadpole to become a frog.
Yeah, I love it. Well, I can't wait to get a copy of your book, The Birth of a Brand, Brian Smith, founder of UGG Boots. If you ever see his name anywhere where he's speaking, make sure you go and listen to the wisdom of this man. What a fun conversation.
Hey,
I'm glad to meet you.
Yeah, that was great.
Really fun. We'll take a little break. Thank you, Brian, and be back with more of Inc. Radio. Stay with us.
Hey,
Hey, it's Alan Taylor. Are you looking for an opportunity to buy a franchise, one that you can really wrap your arms around? Crunch Fitness is really a great opportunity for you. Now, here's a fitness company that's about 10 bucks a month to join. So even if you just want to join, it's a great deal. You want to check it out because I have been personally watching this company grow like crazy. Visit them online at crunchfranchise.com and be in business for yourself, but not by yourself, and have fun doing it. Welcome back. It is Inc. Radio. I'm Alan Taylor. Secret Knock is interesting because you meet all kinds of interesting characters here. Mark Anthony is an independent consultant, has no website, no business card, just a handsome smile on his face and a great personality. Mark Anthony Bates, full name. And you are an interesting guy. Had I not eaten lunch with you, I would not have you on the show because you have no card, no website. I don't know how to vet you out other than Scott, my friend, his word of mouth. Still the best form of marketing, isn't it?
And indeed it is. At least it has served me well for almost 15 years.
Well, tell your story then, because I liked it, and I'm going to give you 3 or 4 minutes to lay it out there. I think it's a real smart way of doing business. You get to be very picky. I've always told everybody, I pick my customers. I don't let them pick me. I mean, they have to pick me at some point. We've got to love each other, right? Mm. But at the end of the day, I want to make sure that I'm doing business with people I love. I love what they stand for. I love their product. But tell your story.
Well, my background's marketing. And so I'm pretty anti-intuitive to everything that I would teach somebody else that was going into marketing. You know, if you want to have credibility, you should have a website. You want to have business cards when you network so people have an easy way to get a hold of you. You know, you want to be able to create a way to promote your message, your brand, your product, whatever that may be. And I don't do any of that. But really, it wasn't the intention. That's not how I started with this. For 15 years, all my business has come by referral. And I turn down probably 85% of the business that comes to me only because I'm either not the right fit for it. It's not my core competency. I'm not interested in taking people's money that I can just muddle through and provide something that's subpar just because they can pay for it.
Well, and because you have to lay your head on your pillow at night and go to sleep with a conscience.
Yeah, well, I drink a lot, so of course I can do it.
There you go.
I don't drink at all, but you know, that's right. and that's true. So in going through this process, though, almost 15 years ago, I was doing marketing consulting. I was telling this story at lunch yesterday, marketing consulting for a software company that developed a new program for the real estate investment world. They asked me to be at this conference. I really didn't want to be there. I wasn't investing and didn't have any interest. And met one of the speakers there because he stopped me in the hallway and said, hey, how are you liking the conference? And I just said, it's okay. And he goes, who's your favorite speaker? I said, I haven't watched any of you. And I'm, what are you doing here? And I said, I'm here because my client paid me to be here for the launch of the program, but I really don't have any interest in doing this. So we chatted for a few minutes. He asked me some marketing questions. I gave him some feedback, and he asked if we could pick my brain the next day at breakfast, if he bought me breakfast. So I did. 3 weeks later, he asked if I had the bandwidth to come on as a consultant for him. And at the time, I did. And did some work with him. He liked the way I delivered my messaging for his marketing. And he asked, can you come and watch me speak? Give me your feedback. I know you worked with Tony Robbins and this guy named Marshall Silver and that you used to be a speaker. So I'm sure you could give me some good, valuable tips. And I said, that's not what I do. Find somebody that's an expert. Go out with them. Spend the money with them. And he goes, no, I really liked your stuff. And I said, it's really not what I do. I'm not really interested. He goes, I'll pay you to be there. I go, I'll be there. You know, as soon as and I went and watched him and identified a couple
of things. I liked how that went flying by there. I'll pay you to be there. I'll be there.
Yeah. I wasn't interested just in hanging out to go ahead and give him, you know, spend my time. Because that's the one resource none of us can get back, right? We don't have more time.
Right.
So I gave him a few things. He went out 3 weeks later, and he crushed it. His numbers just went crazy from the stage. He was what's called a platform salesperson, and he sold from the stage. And there were a lot of his colleagues, his contemporaries, that were watching in the room, and they just went up to him, and they said, you know, you were good before, but you weren't that good. What happened to you?
Right.
Yeah. And he pointed to me in the back of the room, and next thing you know, I had this stable of speakers running up to me going, I want you to do to me what you did to him. How much do you charge? What's your product? You know, give me your contact information. What's your website? You know, and I just said, look, here's the thing. I recognized there was an opportunity, and I wasn't going to let it go by. I didn't know the how yet, and I didn't know as a marketer whether or not it was anything that I did. It could, too many variables. I didn't know anything about the market. I didn't know how they market them. I didn't know how much they paid to be there. So I really didn't know, so I couldn't take credit for that. But I knew there was an opportunity if there were these speakers that were coming up and asking for this that I should explore it, and I need to stall. So what I told them was, I said, I don't have a website and I don't have business cards because I don't need them. All my business comes by referral. The only way you can get to me is if I give you my contact information personally or if somebody has permission to give it to you.
Yes, I just got it from everybody. Yeah. So.
And I just said...
I'll put it on my website later.
Yeah. I said, I have a waiting list and I charge a lot of money. And I said, if you want to get on the waiting list, I may get back to you in 30, 60, 90 days. Leave your name and your card down there and where we met. And I knew that would give me time to identify this.
What chutzpah that is, by the way.
Well, what did I have to lose at that
right,
point? I didn't
nothing.
Have a business on it.
You
Marketing
may
was
have
doing.
Had the secret whatever it is, sauce,
yeah.
right?
It worked. And what happened was, is though, I didn't have to lie about anything that I said. I used to own a company, I still do, called Worldview 360. And it was a marketing company using a platform for email marketing that wasn't working anymore. So I had to shut it down, or I chose to shut it down. I shut down the website, so I didn't have a website anymore. I hadn't built one. I didn't make any more business cards, so I didn't have any more business cards. All my business was coming by referral. I had a waiting list of people who wanted to work with me in marketing. I just didn't go ahead and identify that at the moment when I said I have a waiting list.
That's fair, though. It's all honest.
Yeah. And I didn't know what, if anything, what I would be able to charge for this doing this consulting.
So you needed to stall.
So, but the other thing, too, is if you remember one of the things that I said when they asked me, how much do I charge? I said, I charge a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
That left open. I knew in my mind that they would come up with a figure in their mind much higher than the one I would have thrown out. And they did.
Right.
And that's why I was able to charge the fees that I charge today. The other side of this, too, is that I also act as an agent. I will put people on stages, and then I'll take 10 to 15% of whatever their half is from what they sell or what they're paid for as a keynote speaker. Now, one of the things, though, that was happening is most of those people that I was putting on the stage were people that I coached. So I knew what their product was.
Right.
I knew what their message was going to be. And I had a lot of people who threatened to hire me. They go, oh, I could really use your coaching. But you know what? Can you help me get it on a stage? So they don't think they need my coaching. They think they know it all. And some of them are good speakers. But as these people would come up, and the only thing that they wanted from me was me to put them on stage. And I just said, you know what? I told this guy, I said, look, you know what? I don't feel good the fact that the only time you call me is when you want something.
Yeah.
So be of service first, you know. But don't. I won't even call somebody. If I haven't talked to somebody for a long time and I know that they can do something for me, I'll either, A, not call them, or I'll engage and making sure that we get the relationship back up.
Right.
Or I'll tell them, I'm going, you know, I feel bad. I'm calling you because I thought about you and I thought of something we could do together. And I would totally understand we haven't talked to for a while.
Right.
I don't want this to be like I just went ahead and, you know, I needed something and I'm calling you, even though it just so happened that's what this is turning into. And
right.
so I would understand if you didn't want to do it. So I let them have it.
Yep. Just you out yourself and leave. Yeah.
Yeah,
exactly. It's on them at that point.
So, but with that, what happens is this guy said that, and I go, you know what? Here's the deal. And the guy was, and forgive me for the people over in North Carolina, but this is how he talks. You know, he goes, hey, Mark Anthony, when are we going to do something together?
Yeah, right.
And I said, well, we're not.
No, you didn't.
I did. Because I just had it with this guy. And he goes, well, what? And I said, look, the only time you reach out to me is when you want something.
Yeah.
That doesn't work well for me. And it's usually when you want to get on a stage that I have influence with. So here's the deal. I don't put anybody on stage that I haven't seen speak, and I don't watch anybody speak for free. So here's what I'm going to have you do. You give me $5,000. And I will go ahead and look at your 90-minute video. I won't give you any feedback. I'm looking to make sure that you're actually teaching something and not just pretending you're teaching. I'm also looking to make sure that you're compliant, FTC, SEC,
right.
because I don't need trouble for my
brands
clients.
Brands you trust,
yeah.
exactly.
So, and after all of that, the only thing I will tell you is whether or not you passed and you gave some good information, no feedback on the presentation. Second step is you have to give me your product. And I'm going to give it to two advisors for Robert Kiyosaki at Rich Dad, and I pay them to review the product. Is this a product you would allow to be on your stage? Does it work?
Yeah.
And if they give me the thumbs up, the third thing is they have to give me 100 of their clients from the last 6 months that I can have a VA contact at least 20 to 25 of them to see if their experience has been favorable with you. Not that they've made
the
money.
The vetting process,
exactly.
which is natural, of course.
Exactly. But my time's worth money, so I find out if they're totally committed, they pay the $5,000 and they're going to go through this process. And I said, even if you pass all those things, after all that, I don't guarantee you a single stage and I won't give you your money back, period. I said, what do you think of that? He goes, well, I don't like that. I said, I didn't think you would, but you just gave me my new vetting process. Now, since that day, he and one other guy, the only two guys who have not paid the $5,000. And since that day, only two people where they went through the process, and one guy tried for 2.5 years to get me to take his money, and I said, your stuff doesn't work. I'm not putting you on a stage. And he just bugged me and bugged me, and I said, finally, give me the money. you know I'm going to find out. I'm going to find out your stuff's not going to work. And he goes, no, I've changed. And I go, okay. But you know you're not getting your money back, right? And he goes, okay. And went back, and of course he hadn't changed. I called him up, and he goes, yeah, I know, I'm not getting my money back.
Some people just need that punishment, yes. Self-punishment.
Yeah. So that's the vetting process, and that's kind of what we were talking about earlier about the people that we'll hang out with and work with.
That's Mark Anthony. You can't find him, but you can only find him at a place like Secret Knock. Mark, it's been great having you on the
show. Awesome. Thanks for having me on the show. Really appreciate it.
Really good stuff. I have had a blast. Mark Anthony Bates, you're a good man. Thanks.
Thanks, buddy. You too.
Right. This is Inc. Radio. We'll be right back.
Across the globe, a child goes blind every 5 seconds. We live in a culture saturated with visual cues, but for some, the world is a blur. Since 1997, the Little Rock Foundation has been leading innovative social programs, advancing legislation, and providing information and education to those affected by visual impairment. Gain the resources you need or make a donation today to the Little Rock Foundation. Find us on the web at tlrf.org. You can make a difference.
Well, it is time now to talk to the founder of Secret Knock. His name is Greg Reed, my friend, a mentor, and a mentor to many, as a matter of fact. Greg, thank you, by the way, for having me out to Secret Knock. What an experience, brother. What an experience.
Well, I gotta say, you lit up the stage, man, and you must be calling me a gorilla since we're using the Gorillaz theme song. I like that.
Well, you know what? Listen, here's my takeaway. First of all, you're an amazing dude. I love your free spirit, and so much of business kind of sometimes beats that free spirit out of you because you have to live in this PC world. You're not allowed to be who you are. You're not allowed to say what you want to say. But somehow Greg Reed has kept his free spirit, and he has this event where people stand up and be themselves. And it's like the smiles. I don't know that I've ever seen more smiles anywhere except at a comedy show, but you have a business event. It's like those two normally don't go together. People are smiling the whole time.
Well, there's an old saying that says if you do what you love and love what you do, you have success your whole life through. And what we do is bring together people that actually enjoy what they're doing. You know, there's a saying that says, you know, whatever you're doing, you're trading your life for, so it better be important. And Secret Knock is a community of positive, like-minded people that come together as a collective source to pool their resources and their collaborations and say, hey, you know, I'm working on this. And not only will they not tell you you're crazy, they'll point you in the right direction and open up some doors that most people never have the opportunity to walk through.
So tell the world a little bit more about Greg Reed, if you would, because you and the Think and Grow Rich series and all the books you have written, I mean, how do you describe what you do to people?
You know, it's interesting. Regular guy, you know, barely graduated high school, didn't go to college. And I'll never forget when I was 18, I told my parents I was going to leave and I was going to go into sales and marketing. And I just wanted to be in public relations. And they said, Greg, you're never going to make money talking to people.
Right.
And here we are all these years later and go figure. So the realities are I found something that I was gifted at, but I took action with the right people. And that is the key to personal achievement.
Did you ever have any doubts along the way? I mean, isn't doubt one of the biggest hurdles to get over for people? They think they're stupid or they've been told that they're not good enough or like you, you'll never make money, you know, public speaking. I mean, look how wrong they were.
Yeah, I always look at it. I don't know anything that I go into. Again, I got a D in English, and yet I've been published now in 56 books and 45 languages. You know, the whole idea is I surround myself with people that are getting the results I want. And then I asked them to mentor me. That's it. So when I want to be an author, I didn't ask people who wrote books. I went to people who sold the books. There's a big difference. And asked them how they did it. I got their counsel, and here we are today. Same thing in public speaking. Same thing now I'm making a major motion picture. I don't know anything about the industry. So I find people that won Oscars and said, hey, here's what I'm working on. Will you collaborate? And by them coming on board, boom, all those doors magically start, you know, unveiling right before your eyes.
Yeah, and it's so funny because it's like none of this is rocket science. The beauty of it is it's free-spirited, asking simple questions, putting yourself around people, like you said, that are getting the results. It's like, hey, buddy, what are you doing? I remember when I went fishing as a young guy, if I saw somebody doing something and they're catching fish and I'm standing 10 feet away and I'm getting nothing, I go, what are you using for bait? Isn't it kind of the same thing?
Wow, that is so brilliant. By the way, I think that's the name of my next book, What's Her Bait? I love that. That's a great idea. And yet, for some reason, we stopped. You know, I think your success is in direct proportion to your willingness and ability to ask for counsel, to ask for insight, you know, for people to help you. And when you were a kid, you're in a shopping cart at a grocery store, you're reaching out, grabbing a hold of the toys and cereal, and your parents are back like a lion tamer. But over life, we've been kind of like beat down to not ask, to not request. It's time to start asking for what we want, and all of a sudden you'll get it.
I love it. I want to find out what happened with you and the United Nations recently. We're talking, everybody, with the founder of the Secret Knock event that I was at. And I'm sure that there's more in store for all of us with this man. His name is Greg Reed, my friend. You can also check out the Think and Grow Rich series. And all of this will be available soon at his new website, which I'll give on the other side, because I think it's a big deal. It's always a big deal when you reach these milestones. We'll find out what they are from Greg Reed on Inc. Radio right after this. Stay with us. Are you looking for a tool that can quickly change from sanding to cutting to scraping? Well, the Craftsman C3 19.2-volt multi-tool offers multiple uses with just one tool. The quick blade release feature allows you to easily exchange accessories with a simple lever rotation. Variable speed settings and two built-in LED work lights will help you finish a variety of projects on your to-do list. Pick up your Craftsman C3 multi-tool today. Craftsman, made to make. Available at Craftsman.com, Sears.com, Sears Hometown, and Sears Hardware Stores. Well, you're listening to Inc. Radio. Thanks for joining us. On the cover this month, you'll see Robert Herjavec. Great dude. And right next to the side of his face, it says, How I Did It. Grit and wisdom from the founders of many great companies. I'm not going to list them out. They start on page 37. Head over to the newsstands, pick up this month's issue from Shark Tank, Robert Herjavec. On the line with me right now is my friend Greg Reed, founder of Secret Knock, an event that we just did here recently in San Diego, California, the 10th year it's been going, an amazing event of which Greg said that may be the last one, but I believe there's probably news of something coming, and we'll, you know, share that with us when the time comes, and I hope to be a part of it, whatever you do. You can find him at keynotespeaker.tv because he is a keynote speaker, and you can also hire him to come to your event. Getting results, very important, and in his own personal life, he is getting results beyond his wildest dreams, I think. And recently at the United Nations. Greg, what happened there?
Oh, boy, talk about a surreal moment there. There's an event going on called the Novus Summit. It's bringing positive, like-minded people from science, technology, and inspiration to impact the world in a very positive manner. So we went to the United Nations on the General Assembly floor, and we inspired a lot of people to get off their backside and do something. So many people are thinking about how they want to change the world, and some people are doing it, and this event is for the doers. It was spectacular.
Yeah, but you're not, you're being a bit shy because it seems like they put something in your hands while you were there.
It's so interesting. They had everyone from Peter Diamandis, who, you know, started space exploration for civilians, to astronauts, to physicist, the head of NASA, and then some knucklehead like me. So it was pretty cool, and I was awarded the leadership and inspiration benefit. And it was such an amazing moment, standing at the podium with that, you know, green marble behind you, where the Pope was standing one time, and the presidents, and gosh, it was such a surreal, amazing time of my life.
Man, I'm telling you, congratulations! I saw pictures on Facebook, and I was like, holy mackerel, that's the real deal, brother.
Yes,
you know, isn't that validation? It's the validation you always want, right?
Yeah, it was such an amazing, amazing time. And especially what's cool, here's one of my favorite things, is that my friends came out to participate, flew from all around the country to be there in support. In fact, the founder of Make-A-Wish Foundation, Frank Shankwitz, cashed in all of his frequent flyer miles just to come out to be there and support. And I thought, you know, that's to me, was one of the greatest testaments that maybe we're doing something a little bit different than other people to impact the world, which is very, very special.
Well, you are, and all the folks that are surrounding you seem to be beaming with this kind of, I don't know, a light of hope in their lives, because you are helping them to tap into, I don't know, just something that is simple and beautiful
And I think it's just a free spirit that we hope is out there in this world, especially because everyone has to work. And if you work and you love what you do, you never work a day in your life, right? That's the old saying, kind of. You just said it earlier. And so, but if you work with this, you know, this free spirit and this happiness and joy that you get from doing what you love to do and realizing it's okay to be who you are and to kind of have your own personality and let it be what it is. And as long as you know, use certain principles in your life. And so you have helped people to tap into that through Secret Knock and through all the Think and Grow Rich and all the stuff you're doing with the Think and Grow Rich Foundation and all the books that you've written. And all I can say is, man, I am so glad to be in the shadow of what you're doing. I just love it. And I want people, again, keynotespeaker.tv, you can find more of Greg Reed. And hopefully more events coming up soon, because I think it's a crying shame if you don't keep doing something that more people can get involved with. And I want to help however I can. So make sure you lean on me for any of that with this radio show, with everything that I'm doing. I want more Greg Reed in my life. Okay?
I appreciate it. I accept. Yay! And you know, interesting about the free spirit of business. It's also surrounding yourself with people, like we said earlier, they're getting the results you want. You know, remember this. We're a reflection of the five people we hang around the most. Our income, attitude, and lifestyle is the average of the group. If you want your life to change, change those five people, and your life will change accordingly. If you want to be an artist and a successful artist, well, if you hang around starving artists, you'll be one too. But if you go to the local gallery and they're selling their paintings for, you know, $50,000, and you reach out to those people and say how you do it, well, those are the results they'll get. So it's very important to understand we are our association. Hang out with leaders, you become one too.
All right. Well, I want to hang out with you, brother, because you're hanging out with all those people. Greg S. Reed, everybody. Keynotespeaker.tv. Again, the event was Secret Knock, and that's what you've been listening to for this week and last week. And I'm glad to call him my friend, Greg Reed. Thank you, Greg.
You rock, man. Bye.
All right. That's it for this week here on Ink Radio. We'll see you next week. Same time, same channel.
Push me up against the wall. Young tuck girl in a push-up bra. I'm falling all over myself.
On the track, even 1/100th of a second decides who wins and who loses. That's why Bridgestone uses advanced racing technology to create their fastest street-legal replacement tire yet. The new Bridgestone Potenza RE71R. Engineered with an innovative hydro-evacuation surface and unique tread compounds, the new Potenza RE71R is designed to give you maximum grip and ultimate cornering on or off the track. Bridgestone is changing the game in tire performance.